This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Put these things on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Have we reached a truly desperate, unprecedented pandemic place when the internet is thirsting for Steve Harvey? And also put on the poll at Le Batard Show, is Kingsbury violating the mask rules because he wants all the ladies to be able to see his face? I love that these NFL coaches, while wearing a mask by habit, are consistently, even though the fines are big, are consistently still putting their laminated play sheets over their mouths, even though they're wearing masks and we can't see their lips because they are extra double hiding their secret plays. And it is funny to see some of these guys. I don't know how they're deciding who gets fines and who doesn't get fines, because plenty of people are violating the mask rules.
Is there anything less surprising than John Gruden being terrible at wearing a mask?
Didn't he say, I dare them to find me or they're not going to find me? Didn't he say, wasn't he caught on camera saying that?
If he didn't say it, I'm surprised he hasn't.
Right. I mean, he thinks it regardless. Vegas last night, it was disappointing to me that it wasn't more Vegas. I wanted pyrotechnics everywhere. They've got this $2 billion stadium that they can't put fans in. And one of the things we're always talking about around here is our inability to measure the things in football, even with advanced metrics doing it better than it's ever been done. So I'm grateful that Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is here, for decades of experience covering the National Football League, because one example, Stugatz, I would give you for just one example, and I could give you a thousand where I just get confused about things. Now, Stephon Gilmore could have been the defensive player of the year last year. The Patriots were great, at least in part, because of the things that he was doing for them at cornerback. When you looked at some of the metrics on him, people were not able to successfully throw against him unless the wide receiver was Devontae Parker. He was the defensive player of the year and deserved it based on all of what the metrics were. And then in this game on Sunday against the Seahawks, DK Metcalf had a passer rating. When they were throwing to DK Metcalf, the passer rating against Gilmore was 143.8. So they were attacking Gilmore with this specific kind of body type. And DK Metcalf is going to be somebody who's going to be hard to guard for anybody. But given everything I've just said about the difficulties in measuring this stuff, Greg Cody, I have to ask you the question here as our resident football expert. Are the Raiders for real?
Yeah, I think so, because they have a lot of young defenders who are ascending, and they have Josh Jacobs, who was fantastic last night. And Derek Carr, I think it's fair to say, is one of the most under... You know, Derek Carr was talking before the game about how he feels like he's disrespected. And I agree with him. He doesn't get much credit. He's coming off a very good season. You know, he looked very good last night. And when you have a solid young quarterback and a running back like Josh Jacobs, I think you have the starting point for a great team. I happen to predict that upset. So
nice.
Do you like them at Foxborough next week?
I'm not sure, but I don't discount it.
Okay, so if I come to you next week and ask you if the Raiders are for real after barely beating Carolina and then losing to the Patriots, if I ask you this question next week, do you think you're going to be making the same points about them? Because we've been asking, are the Raiders for real for about a decade around here?
Right, I understand that, but now they have Josh Jacobs really coming into his own, and they do have a lot of young pieces on defense. I think it's an up-and-coming team. I really do. Now they're stuck behind Kansas City in that division, so that's going to make it eternally tough for them during the Mahomes era. But I don't think last night was a huge upset. You know, Drew Brees is looking his age, and you know, believe me, I'm a guy coming from me looking his age. I can speak about guys becoming old overnight, and Drew Brees was not accurate last night. I know his final stats were decent because he threw all those little dinks toward the end, but man, he has not been impressive in the first two games, and it really makes me wonder about the Saints moving forward.
They did beat the Saints, Dan. You have to give Gruden credit because a lot of people, myself included, were making fun of him last year. The games passed him by. He's gotten old, but they've done a very, very good job. They got rid of Mac. People laughed at that. They got rid of Cooper. People laughed at that. Derek Carr's played great. Waller's been a great addition at tight end. Jacobs has been fantastic.
You guys are overstating how good Carr has been. In the first two games, they've scored more than 30 points, but I think you're overstating how good Carr has been the last few years. He has not been on the high end of starting quarterbacks the last few years.
I'm just saying with Waller and Jacobs that Gruden's done a decent job. That's all.
We need to make our minds up on Carr, though, because Derek Carr, this stat blew me away last night when they put up the graphic. He tied Stabler for the most starts at Raiders quarterback all time. I think with his start at Foxborough, he becomes a quarterback that has started the most games for that historic franchise, so we need to make up our minds there. But yes, it was the Saints. The Saints do these peaks and valley seasons without Michael Thomas. You knew, because, I mean, Drew Brees dinks and dunks to Michael Thomas.
That's the pacifier for Drew Brees. He's always going to look more limited on the road with Michael Thomas out.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a big game for the running backs in the receiving game because, I mean, he kind of checks down to his wide receiver one in Michael Thomas, and you're seeing that right there. That's not really the New Orleans Saints' best shot. When you take Michael Thomas out, you've really limited a quarterback that is aging and becoming more limited himself.
There's a Ryan Tannehill quality to Derek Carr in that Dolphin fans spent 7 years saying, is Ryan Tannehill good enough? Raiders fans say the same thing about Derek Carr, but you saw what Tannehill did last season once he inherited a premier running back. And if Josh Jacobs continues to be the Josh Jacobs we saw last night, it's going to be much smoother sailing for Derek Carr moving
forward. It's always fascinating to me, right, Stugatz, when you start adding the skill position, guys, yes. How you change the way. Look at the years that Donovan McNabb had with T.O. Look at the years that Tom Brady had with Randy Moss. They jump off of the stats page. Look at what Russell Wilson now has at the skill positions compared to the difficulties that he used to have at the skill position.
We talked about it with Josh Allen yesterday. We'll see how it is moving forward, but Josh Allen finally has a number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs.
But here's where you guys are on some of the things you're talking about last night, because quarterbacks inevitably have to age, whether they're Drew Brees or Tom Brady. We're seeing that aging process in a way that can't be disputed, where there's some noodle-armed throws that can't be made with the same kind of zip. I mean, Carson Wentz threw the ball so hard and got picked off on Sunday, and because he's got the giant young arm, and those are now not throws that Drew Brees can make into tight spaces, even though he's great at making throws into tight spaces when you're actually testing the arm strength. But I was talking with Dominique Foxworth about this yesterday, and he's not the only one saying this. Stugatz, if the aging process continues this way with Drew Brees, there is the real feeling among people who know more about these things than we do that Sean Payton with Jameis Winston is a thing that can actually look different than what it is you're used to seeing from Jameis Winston. I don't know if Sean Payton can coach the reckless out of Jameis Winston,
right,
but if you coach the reckless out of Jameis Winston, you will get a different skill set at the quarterback position than the one Drew Brees presently has. Drew Brees is predicated on accuracy, not arm strength. I don't know if Sean Payton is capable of coaching the reckless out of Jameis Winston.
It could be 30 touchdowns without the 30 interceptions.
I don't know. I'm just telling you. I know it's easy to laugh at Jameis. I know, Mike, you can argue with Dominique Foxworth.
Dominique's one of those analytics nerds that hate Taysom Hill. This is a Taysom Hill show. Come on, gamer. Give me a roughneck tight end quarterback hybrid that just makes plays every time he gets on the field. Oh, these analytics people, they just don't want to give this 31-year-old youngster a chance.
You can argue with Dominique Foxworth about this later in the show. Take it up with him. Be ready, Cody, because we've got a lot of things to get to. Your Back in My Day is among them. Stugatz's weekend observations, Billy's useless sound montage, Mike's got opinions on the Roaring Twenties. So we've got a lot that we have to get to today, and I honestly don't know where to go among all the things we have. But Billy was suggesting, because Ron McGill couldn't make it today, Billy was suggesting, hey, is Greg Cody an expert at anything? that we could take calls on. Greg Cody, what would you be most comfortable if we were to replace the Ron McGill segment with a Greg Cody segment of calls? What do you feel confident that you could answer with some expertise that would also be fun and interesting to the audience?
Well, the things that come to mind are cooking and gardening.
Mm.
You know, getting my hand in the dirt, literally, and my kitchen acumen.
All right.
In those two areas.
All right. So the telephone number, if you want to talk either cooking or gardening, is 786-456-4837. But let's go ahead and begin with Greg Cody's back in my day. He was complaining during the local hour about the way that he is used. We have gotten maximum usage out of Greg Cody today. And now we will see if he continues his hot streak with a strong back in my day.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
NFL Red Zone. Inexplicably, this has become the Sunday church for fans of American football. It is a 7-hour service we cannot bring ourselves to miss. The deity is an impossibly good-looking man named Scott Hansen. People who like this show love this show, and I don't get it.
What?
I'm not even sure why it's called a red zone. If the idea is to drive forward to a finish line, shouldn't it be called a green zone? I hear red zone, and I think back to what they used to call unsafe areas of Iraq after the 2003 invasion.
Love of God.
Or what today is still refers to the National Government and Military Center in Islamabad.
Jeez.
In an alternate universe, you'd tune into Red Zone next Sunday, and Scott Hansen would be bringing you live updates from the Pakistani parliament.
Oh, my God.
Watching NFL Red Zone is like cheating. Cliff's Notes, the Rosie Ruiz shortcut. It makes me feel dirty. It's unearned information. You want to know who just scored? Watch the damn game. Or follow it online. Phone a friend. Push a button and change the channel, for the love of God. Or better yet, get up and manually change the channel like in the old days when you'd literally turn a big round dial from 4 to 7 to 10. Like a thief getting away scot-free, Red Zone is siphoning viewers from CBS and Fox telecasts, whose product is devalued for advertisers. What a scam. You pick one game to watch, and you're going to get your updates on a scroll at a leisurely, calming pace. Watching Red Zone is dizzying, a frenetic speed dial from game to game, whipping around the league at blur speed, and all to watch a bunch of scores that are happening whether you're watching or not, and that you'd be just fine to learn happened a half hour later, 4 hours later. Watching Red Zone always makes me feel like I need to call a timeout, makes me miss commercial breaks. The show appeals to degenerate fantasy players and gamblers, and to people to whom information overload has become the indoctrinated norm. My wife's a Red Zone-aholic. I'm trying to watch the damn Dolphin game Sunday. You know, focus on one game, imagine that. And she's manually toggling back and forth on Red Zone. So I'm missing a 47-yard Josh Allen completion in order to watch a 1-yard scoring plunge by some lion. Another thing Red Zone ruins is the element of surprise.
Yeah.
The joy of it. I saw Dallas getting its ass kicked by Atlanta, unchained myself from the cathode ray tube for a couple hours, and was genuinely astonished to later learn the Cowboys had won 40-39. Scott Hansen will rob that and other moments from you by degrees over 7 hours. Quit letting this man force feed you extraneous information at his pace.
All right.
You know who said ignorance is bliss? It was the English poet Thomas Gray. You know when he said it? After watching 7 hours of Red Zone, I'm Greg Cody, right. And that's how it was right. Back
yes.
in my day.
A truly excellent. Horrifying opinion. You know how horrifying your opinion has to be for Tony, who once said that 3:45 to 4:15 on Sunday was an excellent napping time to shake his head in sadness at what it is that you are saying. I also want to put this on the poll because this is funny for young people at Le Batard Show. Guillermo, do you remember when the TV was a knob with three channels, 4, 7, and 10? Because that is absolutely, I think you might think that Greg Cody was making that up, but there was a time where you had to get up and physically turn a giant knob on your television to one of three channels, and it's not that long ago.
There was no Fox.
There was no Fox. Before Fox, it was a knob with three channels on it. I think the audience or portions of the audience that doesn't know that a payphone, what a payphone is going to be, find that flabbergasting. More flabbergasting than what I believe to be Greg Cody's worst opinion ever in a library filled with awful opinions.
Paid that man his money.
That was genuinely shocking. A genuinely shocking opinion. We will get to Stugatz's weekend observations. We will get to Billy's useless sound montage. Billy, before we get to Christine Lacy, how are you feeling about the useless sound montage this week? How much of a dungeon of despair and suffering was it for you to listen to all of these cruddy football press conferences where people say things like Mike Zimmer saying you can't start winning until you stop losing?
Wow, spoiler alert. Jeez. I mean, I was feeling good about it, but if you're just going to cut out my legs from under me, jeez, Dan.
I'm sorry I did that to you, Billy. We will get to the Stugatz. We will get to the useless sound montage and Stugatz's weekend observations in a second, but I'm sorry, Christine Lisi, I interrupted you.
And finally, Earth actually had an eighth continent. It has been dubbed Zealandia. The entire continent sank after breaking off from Australia around 80 million years ago. Speaking of things that are 80 million years old, Greg.
Wow, yes.
Wow.
I thought I was going to get
15 seconds ago.
I thought shaped like a continent. You threw a real curveball there going after Greg Cody. Thank you for doing that, Christine. We appreciate
that.
Mike Ryan claiming that Christine Lisi has backed me off the plate with some chin music. And you know how hard it is to back me off a plate. So here is. A tweeter writing in, Stugatz, and this is an excellent question, and I've been wondering it for 2 days, two full days without saying anything. Why does Stugatz look like he has powdered donut on his hat?
That's a good question. I don't really have an answer other than I've been playing golf a lot in these hats. My hair is longer than it's ever been. I'm putting a lot of gel on. I don't know if it's a combination of sweat, if it's a combination of some of the, you know, sunscreen I'm putting on my face when I'm playing golf, but there is something happening.
You could clean that up, you know. You can just scrub that out with something wet pretty easily, I think.
You got to be careful with hats. You don't just throw them in the laundry. They get ruined. You don't just clean them willy-nilly. They can get ruined.
I know, but instead you're on television on ESPN News looking like you have powdered donut on your hat.
I think it adds character to the hat. I do. I think little marks, little sweat, little white there, little powder, whatever it is, it just adds a little character to the hat. The problem is some of my hats have gotten so much white powder on top of it, they are no longer usable. Yeah, and so I've had to throw them away.
I've got different theories on what that white powder is.
Well, what do you think? Tell me the theory, dude.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does having powdered donut on your hat add character to the hat? Yes or no, at Lebatard Show. Let's get to this useless sound montage that Billy Gill continues to be very excited about, even though I totally undercut him by giving you a Mike Zimmer quote that was just fundamentally useless, that the Vikings cannot begin to win unless they stop losing. Here it is, Billy Gill's useless sound montage.
I'll just start by saying, no, today was not a sharp day.
Quarterback's job's never done, so you can always work at it. It's a little bit like being a farmer, man. There's always work to do.
For us, it's a matter of just going to work today and having a great day today and getting better today.
It's a new team, a new season.
It's a new team. It's a new journey.
Here's the thing with Russ, and it's almost like Beyonce. There's a consistency that I think we take for granted.
As far as the field, I had 100% confidence in Bucker every time he's on the field.
You know, you got to deal with the situation that you're given and control what you can control.
It's better to be prepared and not have your opportunity come than have your opportunity come and not be prepared.
1 week at a time, one day at a time.
We're just going to take it day to day at a time and game at a game at a time.
We dug ourselves such a big hole there.
We're not panicking. The sky's not falling.
We don't ride the waves. We just show up and play.
There's plenty of time to get done what we need to get done.
Well, it feels good to win, and it's going to feel good to watch the film and learn.
Now, Cincinnati got a responsibility not to get him killed.
We don't make any excuses. It is what it is.
I'd say at the end of the day, we won the game.
At the end of the day, we weren't able to make a play to get us over the top.
We played two teams today. We played them and ourselves.
Bud Dupree looked like he got shot out of a cannon.
I think you got to get the message across that, you know, it's a marathon.
It's not a marathon. It's 16 sprints.
You got to give credit where credit's due.
You know, starts from the top down.
The future's always better than the past.
I think it's tough sled.
Running like a nosebleed.
He's not just a one-trick pony.
We got a long way to go in a short time to do it.
It takes a player 5,000 reps to really get an understanding and a feel for what he's supposed to do and how he's supposed to do it.
I feel like I've spent 30,000 hours, I mean, just on those type of plays.
Really big victory for us in September. You know, these September victories, like I told the guys, they count in December.
For me, it's not over until it's over.
It was just one moment in time.
You know, we kind of just had to put the blinders on.
Just keep grinding at it, keep working at it, and find a way.
We had explosive plays in the return game. We had some splash.
Yes! Yes!
I've been telling them, we can't start winning until we stop losing.
Yes! He's a great football player. You know, a lot of guys call it, he's a football player. This guy's a football player. He can play anywhere on the football field.
Oh, our first splash of the season. What a flurry at the end. The Tomlin-Zimmer-Gruden flurry. Unbelievable. Splash. We had some splash for the first time this season. It feels good to get back to normal during the pandemic.
Splash.
Check that water. Be careful. Splash. Put some hand sanitizer in there.
Splash.
I was shocked to learn in the middle of that, Stugat, shocked that it is not a marathon anymore. And now it's 16 sprints. I thought it was a marathon. I thought we were headed toward the season is always a marathon.
I still think it's a marathon, but maybe it is 16.
No. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is it a marathon or 16 sprints? Because I have had my worldview altered. People say I can't take on new information and I am formed. I'm telling you, I always thought it was a marathon. And now these people are telling me, I don't know, who was the person who was saying it's 16 sprints? I have not heard that it's 16 sprints. I am happy that that person is zigged while all the other marathoners are zagging.
That was Kevin Stefanski, Dan.
Thank you, Stefanski.
Oh, I got a good one.
You got a visionary Browns coach.
Who was running like a nosebleed?
I think that was Marcus Spears.
And who was shot out of a cannon?
Who was shot out of a cannon? There was
Bud Dupree. Was it Bud Dupree?
What do you mean, who cares? It's the entire... It was, Mike. Congratulations on knowing who it was that was shot out of a cannon.
Oh, Mina, giving us some good sound.
Splash.
I believe the football player that could play anywhere on a football field was Taysom Hill,
course,
by the way.
Of course it was Taysom Hill. Yes. He could play everywhere except quarterback. Because they're not playing him at quarterback, and they would play him at quarterback if he was a quarterback because he's 30 years old. So anywhere on the field except there, $16 million a year. I don't know if it's true, but I read somebody commenting about Pablo's podcast saying that Dwayne Wade was recruiting Jimmy Butler to Miami when they were both in Chicago together, that this is a thing that was actively being done. I don't know how much I would like that if I were a Bulls fan. I know that no one has done more for the Miami Heat franchise, save for perhaps Pat Riley, and it's a maybe, than Dwayne Wade.
Do you think Bulls fans, I guess they'd be upset about that, to hear Dwayne come home to Chicago, recruit their biggest star away from Chicago, even though Jimmy had a couple of stops before he made it to the Heat. I guess Bulls
fans. How would you not be upset by that?
Because Jimmy Butler wasn't doing for the Bulls what he's doing for the Heat, which is helping them win.
They were an 8 seed consistently. Not that that's saying very much, but they were an 8 seed pretty consistently.
He was also a part of good teams there. It just fell apart really quickly for Dwayne once he left the Miami Heat, and I don't know if you remember what was happening in that locker room between some of the younger players and Rondo, Butler, and Dwayne Wade, but Dwayne Wade realized when he got there there. Oh, this is not the right culture. This is not what I'm used to. And Jimmy Butler has spoken to Dwayne saying, you know what? You're a different cat. I know a place that's perfect for you and how you work, because I had no idea it was like that in Miami, and Miami was so different than everybody else.
So Greg Cody of the Miami Herald has a big, giant, bleep-eating grin on his face, and I have no idea. I'm thinking that perhaps he's reading something about himself or watching a video. There, usually that smile only makes an appearance when Greg Cody is, just soaked nipples deep in narcissism. What are you smiling about? What are you smiling about right now? Because you got a giant – is it just a heat homer culture that you're very eager to talk about something that the nation at large does not want to hear about anymore, which is heat culture? Like, the nation does not want to hear about what Miami has, but I think homer columnist Greg Cody of the Miami Herald might have something to say about that.
Well, I was actually smiling that Mike referred to the culture and to the heat having something that nobody else has. That's pervasive in South Florida, but I don't think it falls on the national ear very well. I think that people outside of South Florida think it's a bunch of BS. But if you live down here and work down here and follow the heat very closely, I think you know that it's real. And for Dwayne Wade to sell that to Jimmy Butler while both were in Chicago, I think is very plausible. It sounds to me like something that, yeah, of course that happened. So it doesn't surprise me in the least.
I know I'm a homer, right? But you don't think it's synonymous? The Heat are one of these very few franchises in sports. It's culture, Miami Heat. It's the Patriot way. They've reached that sort of upper echelon for an entire younger generation. They're one of the most successful franchises ever in terms of getting to finals. There are people that are 25 years old, and they look at the Miami Heat the way that, like, my generation looked at the Chicago Bulls.
That is a bit overstated.
Okay, it's us and the Spurs. Who else?
I mean, they've won 3 titles. They've been to 5 finals.
Maybe the
right?
Lakers, depending on how old you are.
Are you tired? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Are you tired of hearing about Miami Heat culture? I think the Patriots way and the Bulls way are in a different stratosphere than what it is that you're talking about in terms of success. When you're talking, and Michael Jordan is responsible for that, but when you're talking about not just 6 titles, but the idea that people sort of assume that Hakeem Olajuwon wouldn't have gotten to win if Michael Jordan had simply continued playing.
Right, but if you're 20, to Mike's point, you're right. First off, the Patriot way is in a different category than anyone. But if you're a 20-year-old, you do look at the Heat as one of those organizations.
I mean,
they've won 3 championships since 2000.
In my lifetime, I don't think anyone's reached the finals with 3 different cores. If they're 2 wins away, if they do it with another core, because you had Wade and Shaq, right, then the big 3, and now Jimmy Butler leading a team, that's pretty unprecedented.
I'm not disputing the size of the achievement. I'm simply saying that you're putting it in a class that the nation does not put it in. And I understand if you were to say, what's harder, to do what the Spurs did with the same core or to continue to get to the finals with 3 different cores, that's a better conversation to have. But I think that most people are simply going to object to Homer Mike at the very beginning, simply putting in that stratosphere. The Miami Heat have made 7 Eastern Conference finals, okay? And that has been with different cores, and it's more than any other team has done in the Eastern Conference, including the Cavs of LeBron James, while LeBron kept getting to the finals year after year. But still, Eastern Conference finals are not the measurement. We don't do to Michael Jordan Western Conference finals. We don't do to Tom Brady, how many times have you won the AFC or the AFC East?
Right.
It's winning the titles.
Oh, and totally understood. I'm just saying, if they make it to the finals again, that is within a 15-year span that they've made it to the NBA finals with a different core. I would like to know what the precedent is for that in any sport. It's very difficult to do. Maybe in like European soccer, where you can just spend cash and just change the team year over year. But in the NBA, they kind of have rules against that. It's a massive achievement if they do. And how do you explain it? You go to coaching because it's an intangible thing. Yeah, they had great players, but no one's done this with Jimmy Butler. People are going to start attributing it to the culture.
It'd be a different number one. I mean, 3 titles with a different number one guy. Wade, LeBron, and then Wade is a number 2, and then Butler now is a number 1. That's pretty impressive.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. What's harder to do, to win 5 championships with the same core or to win 3 championships with 3 different cores, or getting to the finals with 3 different cores? I know that Greg Cody has opinions about LeBron James, being angry that he finished second in the MVP voting. You know what my position is on this? It's fairly consistent. I think it's one of the dumbest things we regularly do in sports, arguing about whether this guy is a percentage point better than that guy at being great. We do it for all time, and we do it year to year, and I think it's really dumb.
I'm really begging Greg to surprise me with an opinion, because okay. I know exactly where this is going with
it. All right, I cannot wait to hear where this opinion is going, but LeBron James is angry about this, and Greg Cody badly wants to have the cliched sports radio conversation about whether or not, let's see how predictable this is. We've gotten pretty good at being able to predict what's going to happen to Cody around here, what he's going to opine. So the floor is yours, Greg. Let's see if you could surprise us. I doubt it.
Well, I'm not trying to surprise you. I'm trying to give a...
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.